We're now going to move on to sleight of mouth. Now, so you need to stay in uptime while you're doing this. Now, sleight of mouth patterns were originally developed by Robert Diltz and Todd Epstein, who were some of the early developers of NLP. And how it worked is they were apparently, the story goes, modeled Bandler in that he never lost an argument. And they modeled him what he was doing and noticed that he unconsciously was using reframes, certain types of reframes that he was using to always enable him to win an argument. Now, we're not going to use these to win an argument because that's a bit poncy. What we're going to do is we're going to use them to empower our client so that they create good internal representations of what they want and keep them moving rather than have them stuck. So you've done reframes before. All this really is, these sleight of mouth patterns, is really just 16 different ways of eloquently reframing, 16 different rules you can use, if you like, to reframe people. So we're going to give you the rules, and we're going to break it down consciously. Ultimately, at the end of the day, once you've embedded these consciously, as always, you're ultimately in the moment when you're using them out in the real world, will obviously use them unconsciously. Here's some, why would you want to use them? Well, gives you greater flexibility, gives you the ability to reframe beliefs, gives you the ability to have people's beliefs be shaken, have people's beliefs go away, but conversationally rather than necessarily using some kind of formal technique. So you can use these where a formal technique would be inappropriate or indeed just in everyday conversation. So let's have a look at the different types of sleight of mouth patterns first. So these are just reframes. So what we've got there is a series of questions that you can ask yourself in order to develop the reframe. So you ask yourself these questions, and once the answer to these questions will be your reframe itself. Now, again, don't get hooked up too much on the labels and stuff like that. Just allow it to soak in, because it will make more sense the more when we get into the actual examples themselves. So the questions to ask are: the different types of reframes are metaframe, reality strategy, model of the world, applying it to itself, change frame size, hierarchy of criteria, that means values, consequence, another outcome, metaphor, redefine, chunking down, chunking up, counterexample, or intent. And we've got different questions that we can utilize to help us to use reframes. It doesn't matter what reframe you use as long as it works. So what I want you to do now is, can you just go to this page? You've got several of these, I think, actually, in your workbooks. So we use, there you go, should be at the end of the sleight of mouth patterns. We use a sleight of mouth pattern when the client gives us a belief that is stated as either a cause and effect or a complex equivalent. Yeah. We use sleight of mouth when the client gives us a belief which is stated as either a cause and effect or a complex equivalent. As in the example of sales, a belief could be, I can't do your training because it's too expensive. That's a belief. That's a cause and effect belief. If then, as in, I can't do your training because it's too expensive. As in, training and expensive are linked. One leads to the other. Or I can't do your training. It's too expensive. Yeah, that would be a more of a complex equivalent. Yeah. Either way, it doesn't matter. Now, if you're working with a client and they give you a belief and it isn't in the form of a complex equivalent or a cause and effect, then ask questions of them until it becomes a cause and effect or a complex equivalent. Yeah. With a little bit of questioning, you can get them from a statement which isn't a cause and effect or a complex equivalent into one of those. So, the easiest way to do this now, to learn this, is to do it inductively, to go straight to the examples. So that's what we're going to do. And then we'll come back and look at the questions that you need to ask, and then it will make more sense. So let's go to the examples, which you'll now find a couple of pages on from the beginning of the sleight of mouth section. So, the example, we've got three different examples of a complex equivalent or a cause and effect. So, do you have that page yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, we've got an A, B, and a C. So, we've got three different types of examples. First one is, I can't do your training because it's too expensive. Or, I'm too old to learn. Or, conversational change techniques are manipulative. Okay. So, we've either got there. Got a cause and effect or a complex equivalent. Let's look at the three different types of response. So if we're going to do a reframe, which is a meta frame on the whole equivalence, meaning a meta frame on the whole thing, we could say, I can't do your training because it's too expensive. And you say, oh, I see. Okay, I understand. Well, listen, many people say that. And that's because they haven't realized how much not knowing the content of the training has already cost them in the past. Here's one of the things you definitely need in abundance to do these well. Rapport and softening frames. Otherwise, it will sound like an argument. So always, whenever someone gives you something, always listen fully first, take it all in and go, okay. So I'm just curious. Perhaps, maybe, I'm just wondering, you know, could it be that? You know, that kind of stuff. So in the case of I'm too old to learn, we've got, oh, I see. Okay, I see what you're saying. Well, actually, just consider for a moment, maybe that's only because you haven't yet discovered the link between neurological connections and learning. Or C, conversational change techniques are manipulative. That's just because I haven't talked to you or talked to you about the responsibility for change yet. So what you're doing with MetaFrame, let's now look back to the question that helps us to decide how we develop it. And the question is, how is it possible they could believe that? So what you do is, you go inside and you ask yourself, how is it possible they can believe that? How is it possible they can believe that the training is too expensive? You basically do a mind read on what their belief is, really what's driving the belief, and then you make a reframe around whatever it is that you believe is driving it. That's why it's called a meta frame. Okay? So, if we look at that, for example, I can't do your training because it's too expensive. You say, how is it possible they believe that? And then you say, okay, is it because they haven't realized yet how much the content of our training, or how it's not knowing the content of our training, has cost them in the past? Yeah. So what they're doing is they're equating, they're not saying the value of the training because they don't realize how much it's cost them. So therefore, that's your reframe that you use. Okay, let's look at reality strategy next. So, I can't do your training because it's too expensive. You say, How would you know if our training was great value? Where does that put them, by the way? Outside the boundary. Yes? So I'm too old to learn. So what you're basically doing is you're looking for their reality strategy. How do you know you're too old? How do you know you can't learn? And in the case of conversational change next to manipulative, how do you represent manipulative to yourself? Yep. So the questions for reality strategy is, how do they represent that belief? How do they know it's not true? How do they know it's not true? So that's the reality strategy. Okay, let's look on the model of the world. Model of the world. So, our question for model of the world is, switch referential index, or is it true in everybody's model of the world? So, model of the world on I can't do your training because it's too expensive. Many of our previous students thought that before they realized the return on their investment. I'm too old to learn. I wonder what man in the world would say to that. Yeah. Because it's there, basically, is it true in everyone's model of the world? And that's what the answer comes up from asking that question. Or, conversational change techniques are manipulative. If a chiropractor didn't manipulate his clients, they'd want their money back. So it's not true in everybody's model of the world. So you're expanding the model there. Okay, good. Apply to self, like this one. This one's a good one. I can't do your training because it's too expensive. That's a very costly thing to think. You can't afford not to. So basically, how you do apply to self is you don't think about it. You just use the word back on itself. So the words we're using back on itself there is simply it being costly. That's a very costly thing to think. You can't afford not to. I'm too old to learn. What age were you when you learnt that old belief? And conversational change are manipulative. Do you always manipulate the conversation to try and change the other person's mind? Yeah. Excellent. So, moving on to number 6, change frame size. What we're doing with change frame size is we're blowing it up to something bigger or something smaller. Different frame, same behavior, or chunk up to find a universal quantifier. So, change frame size. Here we go. So, on the example of your training's too expensive, if you always thought that you'd never do anything you want to do. Because always and never, universal quantifiers. Or, in the case of the age one, if everyone thought that, we'd all be on the scrap heap at 40. And in the case of our C example, if Colonel Sanders had thought that, we wouldn't have Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah, that's our old one. And in the conversational change, being manipulative, if all conversational change was always manipulative, no one would ever say anything to anyone. Good. Hierarchy of criteria. Here's what we're doing with hierarchy of criteria, is we're seeking to utilize higher values. So how can we appeal to higher values the person has than what they're displaying based on their current belief? So, I can't do your training because it's too expensive. Isn't it better that we focus on creating massive results for our students rather than cutting the costs? So there we're going for the value of creating more value for our students and massive results rather than the cost. So we appeal to higher values. In the case of our R2 old, what if you were to pay attention to your ever-increasing wisdom and experience rather than how long you've been alive. Good reframe. And in the case of our conversational change being ameliorative, surely what's important here is whether or not we assist someone in getting more out of what they want and less out of what they don't want, rather than focusing on being manipulative. Alrighty. So appeal to higher values. That's all we're doing with hierarchy of criteria. Whenever in NLP, whenever you see the word criteria, it means values. Okay? Okay, consequence. Consequence is the question you ask yourself is, what will happen to them if they continue to think this way? You ask that question of yourself and it will come up, you'll come up with your reframe. So you say, continuing to think that way will only ever increasingly reduce your choices. This is why you need lots of rapport, by the way, because you're definitely challenging the person's belief. Yeah? Which is what you want to do. Okay? I'm too old to learn. Thinking that way will eventually stop you from learning anything. Conversational change manipulative. Holding that belief will prevent you from playing any part in transforming the planet. Okay, number 9, another outcome. So what's another outcome which is more relevant? So what's another outcome you can shift to is the question you ask yourself. And you say, in the case if it's too expensive, listen, isn't it true that price is never the real issue? The real issue is whether there is value for you in attending the course. I'm too old to learn? Hey, I'm just curious, wouldn't you agree that learning isn't the issue here? The issue here is whether you are old enough to give up. Manipulation, in terms of conversational change manipulative, manipulation is never the issue. The real issue is creating choice. Let's discuss ways to do that. Alrighty. 10. 10 is very simple. You just come up with a metaphor. Well, you've done these before. So, it's too expensive. Of course, can't do your course, too expensive. A friend of mine always wanted a BMW, but previously thought he couldn't afford one, so he bought cheaper cars. They were always breaking down, and servicing and repairs cost him a fortune. Not to mention the huge depreciation. Last year, he bit the bullet and went for what he wanted. He loves his BMW. And he says that, in the long run, it's not costing him any more than his previous cars. So it's a very simple, shallow metaphor. In the case of being too old to learn, wouldn't it be funny if we actually had life the wrong way round? We are born old and wise. Progressively, we get younger and younger, and our wisdom and knowledge begin to fade. Eventually, we forget how to walk and talk, and to get so bad we can't even feed ourselves. Just before we die, we are completely dependent on others. In our final moments, a doctor smacks us on the bottom and we stop breathing. Finally, we are put out of our misery and are reabsorbed back into our mum. Brilliant! That's brilliant. I love that one.